Well, welcome to Blog Talk, the straight talk about the kingdom. And we're going to be talking about a number of things for this half hour and then for the next 2 hours on LibertyRadioLive.com. And after the shows, eventually they'll all be archived at our website at hisholychurch.org or at preparingyou.com or at keysofthekingdom.info. And so you can go and listen to all these shows. This particular show is talking about the network, being fishers of men, being men that were called by Christ to go out and preach his kingdom, his way, to the whole world, to everywhere, to everyone, to every institution. The word creature, when they refer to teaching to every creature, actually says to every institution. So every institution would have this characteristic of Christ, which is what he appointed, his kingdom, his right to be ruled by God through Christ, through the ways of Christ, Christ being the word anointing, Messiah, Messiah. We all have to have that anointing of God so that we do the will of the Father in accordance to the ways of the Father. And there are numerous things that Christ said to do and not do, and most churches never even bring them up. They don't even talk about them. Even preachers are asked what Jesus listed as the weightier matters, and they don't know. And they certainly aren't preaching it. They're saying all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're saved. And that you need to say this out loud to people, like some sort of incantation or chant. Just tell people that. But that isn't really what Jesus said. When you testify that you are doing the will of the Father and seeking the ways of Christ, how do you testify? By words? Jesus said not those who say, but those who do. Those are the action words. Not saying, but doing. And so many churches, so many groups, so many people say they have accepted Jesus Christ, but I do not see the testimony of that in their doing. They cling to the idea that we say it, that somehow saying it and singing it in churches is praising the Father. Is God so insecure that he needs our words? Christ de-emphasized saying and overemphasized over and over again, at least, doing. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. What must I do to obtain eternal life? Keep the commandments. I had a pastor tell me that that is Old Testament. I said, but Jesus said that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He said you had to be doers. And John, if you love him, keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Don't put your light under a bushel basket. I have people say, oh, we don't want to tell people what we're doing because, oh, that would be bragging. Not if you're humble, it's not bragging. You're supposed to be bearing witness, showing people what it is to be kingdom, taking the time to share amongst yourselves a witness, a testimony of what the kingdom is. Nobody knows. How can you be fishers of men if you won't man the nets? And what do we mean by that? Jesus said to several of his apostles who happened to be fishermen, I don't know what he said to those that were not fishermen, He told them to leave their nets and come follow him, and he would make them fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. Well, do we go out with nets and throw them on people and grab them and Shanghai them into the kingdom? No, it's a metaphor. He's talking about catching men up in the ways of Christ, in the ways of the Father, the righteousness of the Father. And how do we do that? We do that with a metaphoric net. When I was a kid, they played a game, Red Rover, let Johnny come over. And all the kids stood there with their hands locked together. Johnny would run across and try to get through that human chain. If he couldn't get through, he had to join them. I can't remember all the rules of the game, but the idea was there was a strategy of getting the strongest kids there in the middle of your line, and then they would absorb the shock like a net, absorbs the shock so that nothing can actually pull through. Little tiny thin strings hold all these fish because they hold together. And if you understand how you make the strings, even for a net, you ply strings together, weaving them, and then tying these knots so that no single part of the net takes the shock when it gathers what it gathers. It holds it. Jesus talks about taking the apostles back out fishing after he had trained them and taught them and explained the mysteries of the kingdom. He says, now throw your net on the other side. Because they'd been out all day and they had caught anything. He says, now put your net on the other side. And he put their, and they did what he said. Amazing. That is a witness. That they actually are doing what Jesus said. Iscariot didn't do what Jesus, he followed him. He professed Jesus as his Lord. But he didn't do what Jesus said. He actually even betrayed Jesus. Why were there only 12 apostles? There were thousands of people following. Because everybody did not persevere and keep doing. When Peter was going to have his feet washed, he said no. But Jesus said, no, you got to do this. Or I'm not going to have any part of you. He says, okay, I'll do it. There's this testimony, not that he said, Lord, Lord, but that he did what Jesus said. So are your churches even telling you what Jesus said to do? No, it's not what you do. They tell you, oh, don't worry about what you do. You're just saved because you said it. We need a counterbalance to that. We need people who are not just saying, but actually doing. We have people who say they believe in Jesus, but they don't even keep their word. What we've done is we formed this network. We laid it out according to biblical principles. Two or more witnesses. Choose somebody from the bottom up. This is what they did in the Old Testament. This is what they did in the New Testament at Pentecost. You chose who your minister would be. And then the case of this internet network, you're just choosing somebody to help minister your connection with others who are seeking the kingdom. That's all he has to do. In the true kingdom, he's health, education, and welfare. But if you can't even work diligently on connecting one another in a kingdom network, not a congregational network, but a kingdom network, why would we trust to you the huge responsibility of being health, education, and welfare? And we have some PCMs that haven't yet figured out what the kingdom looks like. They still think that the kingdom looks like me up in front of a bunch of people talking and giving them ideologies and eschatologies. They don't realize that the kingdom is a network of ministers who are actually holding hands together, connected one with the other. In a network like that, I only got two hands. I can only connect with a couple of people. But if you do it according to the tens, hundreds, and thousands used by Abraham, used by Moses, used by the Teutons, used by early church, all over Europe and Asia. If you connect in that network and be faithful to that pattern, you know, I could cut your thumb off and graft it in up your arm by your elbow, and we could maybe make it live if I do a real good job in surgery. I'm not a surgeon, but if I was, I bet you we could get a surgeon to cut your thumb off and hook it to your elbow and hook up the veins so that the blood circulates, and it would work. I mean, it would be there and alive. But you couldn't grasp anything with your hand, that pendant thumb, because it's in the wrong place. So, when you're creating a network, even a shadow network like we have on the PCM group, you need to have your fingers and the thumbs in the right place so that your PCM can testify that these are the people that picked me, and I'm going to introduce them to each other so that they will know each other and they will be plied together like a yarn in weaving. And then after plying them together with the what? Contract? No, with relationships, they become of a network. But then we connect them with other PCMs, other contact ministers, other ministers of record. And so that when you have your prayers that you say in church, which is not a building, but a gathering, an assembly, that's what it means, ecclesia, assembly, of people called out of one way into another way, those people will not be just connected with the minister who sits up there talking in vain repetitions of philosophy, but they're actually physically connected because that minister is physically connected, maybe by phone a lot of the time, but he actually goes out of his way to meet the other ministers in the network and develops a relationship with them, tying the knots of that relationship in faith, hope, and charity, in sharing information, sharing knowledge, serving one another. They create a relationship. Takes a time. It takes a while to make that come about. You don't do that with a piece of paper and a stamp and a seal. That's just for the world so they know where the edge of your garden is so that they don't walk on the freshly planted garlic and freshly planted carrot seeds and whatever it is that you're growing in your garden. You put up a little boundary around it and you say, this is the garden, don't go in there. And this is why we do paperwork. So the world will know, hey, you're stepping on his church. We don't incorporate the congregation. This is a government where you're bound by relationships, not by eschatologies and phraseologies and words, but by deeds that strengthen relationships. If your fiance was in Australia and you were in Canada, can you marry her? Well, you can get the paperwork done. Or let's put it all in, you know, if she's in Portland and you're in Summer Lake, can you marry her? You can get all the paperwork done. You can testify over the phone or by shortwave radio that, yes, I take this woman. But you're not married till you actually come together. So this is the same way with the kingdom. You're not a part of the kingdom unless you're coming together with other people. But that coming together is not merely congregational. If you come together with a spirit of, I love my neighbor as myself, and you gather together with your neighbor, if that's really the motivation and not simply justification, which is why most people, and I shouldn't say justification, because the word righteousness actually could be translated justification, but it's self-justification. You gather in your little group in order to have this vain, I'm in a little group. They pat me on the back. We all put our hands together. We pray together. We talk about how we see it and other people don't see it together. And we create a relationship. But it's a stagnant pool. It's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is connected all over. Now, in a network, when you got Red Rover, will Johnny come over? Johnny's only going to hit one spot of that little net that stretched across the field there. But everybody's going to feel the pull because everybody's connected, and they will absorb the shockwave of that, and hopefully their hands will stay strong together. Because everybody, you know, they pull and hold. And that's why this network, there's actually a spiritual union that is a reality in the spiritual realm. But you have to work at holding on to the one next to you. Anybody who breaks that bond and that connection becomes a weak part. Think of it in the metaphor of the net, fishing net. Fishing net goes out in the water, it's pulled up, they dry nets, they put it back out, it gets slime from the fish and everything from fishing, and sometimes the threads begin to rot. Sometimes they weren't woven quite right. And you get a bad spot in the net. And I know fishermen who go out fishing with nets. And they just cut out that section of the net and put in another section. And they put it in according to a pattern. They don't just string threads back and forth until it looks like fish can't get through there anymore. They follow a pattern. And they cut out the bad parts. Because if they have one bad part in the net, all the fish can escape through that one bad part or be lost. Let's not put escape because it makes it sound like we're not fishing with hooks. We're not forcing people into the kingdom. When they threw down their net on the right side of the boat, the fish swam into it. But of course, when we're dealing with men, we have to cut that metaphor. It's you're not forced to come in. You come in because you have the same love and the same spirit. And, you know, this is very important, that the concept of fishers of men, that and how that kingdom works. A minister is no better than his congregation in his ability to physically serve the needs of the people. Now take that whole statement, it's all one sentence. A minister is no better than his congregation when it comes to serving the physical needs of the people. Now, if Jesus was preaching an alternative government, alternative form of government, and that's what the church is defined as today, one form of government, as opposed to the form of government that you see all around about you in the other nations. Jesus says, I appoint unto you a kingdom, but you are not to be like the governments of the other nations who have men who call themselves benefactors, take care of the needy of society. Through pure religion, but do so by exercising authority. The kingdom of God is the entire social welfare of those people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Sator, as their King. Now, how many people out there in the organized church have done that? They don't even know what that means, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The early church knew. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't get any more welfare. You can't send your kids to public school. You can't get food stamps. You can't even get a bank account. You can't even get a job. You can't even get state ID. If you totally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't do that, because you can't be applying to the Corban of the Pharisees for benefit. Now, 99% of the people out there haven't got a clue what that means. We're out there trying to get that information out so that those people who recognize that they are in bondage, and that's a big job, to recognize that you're in bondage. I just sent out an email just before the radio show to someone who said it. You know, if we can't own our own property, we're slaves. Yeah, right, you got it. Oh, you got it, you're slaves. Write it down. You are slaves. You are in a feudal system where you are feudatories on the land. You don't own your land. You don't own your labor. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. Write it down. Okay, get over it. Okay, turn around. Don't stop paying your taxes. Start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you really do that and persevere, they will kick you out. They will separate you out, and you will be free. And you might just survive freedom. And when the armies of the Pharaoh want to destroy you, God will step between them. Otherwise, you're just out there on your own, because you haven't done what Christ said. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That kingdom of God was appointed to men who are actually to go out and feed His sheep in the practice of pure religion, taking care of the needy of their society. How did they do this? They gather together in congregations, look out amongst themselves, and pick ministers they trust. And the day you stop trusting that minister, start looking for another one. You might just keep your eye open for good ministers anyway. You never know when that guy might just go wonkers or die or not be able to be there. So that's why we had feasts like Feast of the Tabernacles coming up here in September. And we want to start having feasts in other parts of the country. You know, one for the spring, one for other times of the year where people can gather. And of course, you can gather anytime you want in your congregations and congregations of congregations. But that means your ministers and your PCMs have to be reaching out to the other ministers, not coveting their congregation. If they have information they think is valuable, they should rush to share it. And we have a way to do that. On the preparingyou.com site, you can put stuff up there. We have a PCM group where all the contact ministers and minister of records can gather. They can share information back and forth. They can call each other up. They have each other's phone numbers, and they are kind. We have one now moving from Massachusetts to Grants Pass. He had his first meeting last night in Albany, New York, and now he's on to Michigan to meet with others there. And if everybody that was on the network was networking like they did in the first century church, there wouldn't be hardly a town that he couldn't go through, and somebody wouldn't come out there and wave and give him. They evidently exchanged gifts. I was surprised at that. I don't know what. I would be curious, what were the gifts that were exchanged when they met? But that's That's how you build relationships. I'm impressed. I'm encouraged. Not that my faith was faltering anyway, but that's the good news of the kingdom. It's working for those who are working at it. For those who are not working at it, he's going to go by. They're never going to even meet him. They're never going to see him. They're never going to talk to him. But they're going to go to the church and sing. They're going to go up there to the front of the church, and they're going to say, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And then they're going to go back to their life of bondage. And the bad thing about that, besides the fact that they suffer the loss of their immortal soul, because the world is dragging you farther and farther into iniquity. It says it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. In the kingdom, it's not only not okay to covet your neighbor's goods. If you're coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of government, there is no inheritance for you in the kingdom. We don't have to give you any benefit. As a matter of fact, if you come and try to take from us, you may find God opening up the ground and swallowing you up. Now, am I just referring to the past or am I referring to the future? Stay tuned. Find out. Those of you who are seeking the kingdom, you have a responsibility not only to care for the needy, but to find out where they are. You have to cross the road and look in the ditch to be the Good Samaritan. And then you have to reach down and help the man up and load him on your donkey and walk instead of ride and take care of the needy at your personal sacrifice. And, of course, we do that to the tens, hundreds, and thousands. That's the way the church always worked. And the only way the minister can take care of the needy is if you pay him. But you don't have to pay him he can't collect from you by force. You have to choose to give to him. And then he supports his minister in the same way. But we have guys who think they're ministers who don't even share information, much less support. They actually are secretive about their doings. And I should be playing the end music now. And something happened to my studio switchboard. It didn't load completely. So we'll probably end this show here in about 60 seconds without the music, and I'll have to add it in later. But we're going to talk on LibertyRadioLive.com. You can get in the chat room, and we'll have guys listening or watching the chat room, and we'll have guys where you can call in, and we'll give you a number on that show where you can call in. And hopefully we'll start getting some of these things ironed out, and I'll read a couple of my emails that just came in before the show started, and we'll see if we can't find out what it means to be fishers of men, to be the ministers of God's kingdom, and what you have to do and what you should not be doing to qualify to be a minister of that kingdom. Being called is not enough. You have to actually answer that call. So until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.